76 degrees on Friends Plaza at 8:50 this morning. Time for our pre-opening commodity market report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Midwest slaughter hog prices today are expected to be weak to $1 per hundredweight lower, amid reports that most plants are nearly full for the week at reduced slaughter schedules. Terminals are called weak to a dollar lower, with top prices from $48.50 to $53. Peoria called steady to 50 cents lower today, with a top price of $48.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, June 26th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,460. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $63.75 to $78. The weighted average, $73.38, a loss of $1.44 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $51 to $61.13. The weighted average, $57.81. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 10,704. The base price range was $62.50 to $81. The weighted average, $74.88. A loss of $2.04 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $50.20 to $62.50. And the weighted average was $57.48. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, Dave, yesterday some areas picked up a nice round of rain, others not so much, but we do look for more precipitation over the next 24 to 36 hours for the eastern Corn Belt. Right now, some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms in Illinois and central and western Indiana, and a little band of moderate to heavy rain across southern Ohio. Areas to the south of the Ohio River still the worst off as far as soil moisture, with persistent drought going on there and not a whole lot of activity right now. But a cold front that is going to push into the area will bring some scattered showers, some thunderstorms, and some rainfall to the area. It will be helpful. It won't be a drought buster by any stretch, but a little bit of moisture will help out in the area. There will be some chances for flooding in some areas west of the Mississippi River. Well, first off, we're pretty well aware of Oklahoma and Texas and the troubles they've been having with too much rain, but some pockets of very wet soil across eastern portions of Iowa, just a few areas there, and some scattered river flooding is expected in eastern portions of the Dakotas and western Minnesota. In the west, hot, dry weather is favoring the dry down of winter grains, but maintaining high crop moisture requirements for irrigated summer crops. Also, the risk of wildfires is continuing in the west for the plains. The very heavy showers and thunderstorms will persist once again southern Kansas into Texas, halting any field work and causing additional flooding there, with drier, cooler conditions overspreading the northern half of the region behind a second of two cold fronts that will be working their way across the northern plains. For the Corn Belt, the eastern sections, the skies are generally sunny, promoting some summer crop development through much of the Midwest. Isolated showers and thunderstorms will develop ahead of the slow-moving cold front in central and eastern growing areas, and that will bring an end to the sunshine and start to bring some more sunshine to the western Corn Belt. For the south, hot, muggy weather will dominate the region. There will be some scattered showers across the area, especially from the southern tip of Florida into central Florida. Actually, just about the entire state of Florida will have chances for rain. The rest of the southeast is expecting to see some rain over the next week or so. But they are in severe drought conditions, and it won't do much to counteract that, but it will bring a little bit of relief on a short-term basis. Over the next 6 to 10 days, the Climate Prediction Center expects the weather to be above normal as far as temperatures across the southeast and from the Rockies into the Pacific coast, with below normal temperatures confined to the southern plains and the northeastern states. Precipitation is expected below normal in the northern plains southeastward into the Atlantic and southeastern states. Again, they cannot afford any more dry weather there. Wettest conditions, wetter than average conditions, confined to Texas and the southern Florida peninsula. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 589 and a half up one, last trade up 7 3/4. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 609 and a quarter up 3/4, last trade up 4 1/2. December, 635 up one, last trade up 1 1/4. July corn, 356 down a half, last trade up one. December, 373 and a quarter, down 1 3/4, last trade unchanged. March, 386 down a quarter, last trade down a half. Take it out to December 2008, 398 down 2 3/4, last trade down one. July beans, 804 and a half, down 2 1/2, last trade unchanged. November, 840 and a quarter, down 1 3/4, last trade down 1 1/2. March, 857 down 2, last trade down 3 1/2. July soybean meal, 219.90 down 20, last trade down 90. July soybean oil, 35 up 2, last trade unchanged. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
With the reports on Friday, are we pretty much going to look for a muted day today?
Yeah, that would be the normal expectation. I don't know, though. The volatility is cranked up so high in all these markets, nothing would surprise me. But, yeah, I think, relatively speaking, it would be a fairly narrow-range day, I would guess.
What about the opens, then?
Well, everybody's kind of looking at the wheat market after the shocker yesterday when it was called, 2 to 5 higher and opened 20 higher, then immediately went almost limit up. The calls I'm hearing in wheat this morning are something like 5 to 7 higher, somewhere around a nickel higher anyway. And I think that that'll probably add a little dose of firmness to the corn and beans, although didn't really have much of an effect when all was said and done yesterday, but it certainly did at first, and I guess I'd look for kind of the same reaction today. I think corn had spent a lot of last night down about 3 or so, but really couldn't stay down there, so now they're calling corn steady to a penny better. And beans, they came off their 3 or 4 cent lower action last night and finished about 1 1/2 lower in the November, and I just have to call it kind of basically mixed in the beans. They could be up or down a penny or two.
Does wheat have enough in it to make new contract highs by the end of the week?
I think it does. If you look at the September contract, which is now the leading volume month, it's got a double top up there about 8 cents higher than we closed yesterday. I'd be pretty surprised if we didn't go up there and try to break through that today and just, you know, see what's there stop-wise and all. I'm skeptical this wheat strength can, you know, has a lot left in it, but because it does seem like the weather out west is we've seen the most of the moisture, I think. And they're going to have another wet day tomorrow, maybe a little bit more the next day. I mean, a fairly wet day today, maybe a little bit more tomorrow. But beyond that, it's dry as far as the eye can see, really. And the harvest will finally get underway in a big way, I think. So it kind of depends how aggressively the funds want to continue to build their longs there. But personally, I wouldn't think there'd be a lot left.
Turn your attention to the acreage report, the range 89,250 to 91,704.
Yeah, wide range, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the real number came outside of that range, one way or the other. I mean, this is one report that I just think is absolutely up for grabs. The March 31st number, it's funny, all these numbers are based on the March 31st numbers kind of being gospel as a starting point, and as we all know, that's one of the softest numbers there is in this whole industry. So it could be anything. But I would say that the trade definitely seems to have a bearish bias towards corn as far as the acreage number goes. And in other words, I think there's this whispered numbers are probably larger than the printed average and probably the opposite in the beans.
So beans could then go somewhere below 66?
It wouldn't surprise me from some of the numbers I'm hearing out there, but like I say, I wouldn't bet too heavily either way on this thing because it's going to be a very important number to discover here and could really upset a lot of people's assumptions going into the report.
What did you think about the numbers off of the quarterly grain stock estimates?
I don't think they're really all that critical because, you know, the yield and the acreage is almost certainly to overshadow it in importance just in terms of raw numbers of bushels. There's certainly room for a surprise there. I think in spite of the bigger carryover in beans versus corn in the current crop year, I think the bean stocks number is more important than the corn one just because, looking down the road, if the relative tightness is expected to be, more present in the beans than in the corn. So I think that bean stocks number is probably more important than the corn one.
About 20, 30 seconds left. Turn your attention to the Merck.
Looks a little easier across the board. I'd say cattle be 10 or 20 lower, and hogs steady to 10 or 20 lower as well, probably.
Thank you much, Clayton.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois, and he joins us every Wednesday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.